Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Celtic Now and for our podcast. My name is Ryan Crawford, and joining us on the podcast this week is Robert Boyle once again. What are you doing, mate?
All good, Ryan, thanks.
Not bad, mate. And also, we've got a special guest this week, very well-respected actor, Scottish actor, and also massive Celtic fan, Gianni Capaldi. Big man, how are you doing, Gianni?
Great, fantastic, as well as can be.
How's things over there? All good?
Aye, good, good. I mean, spend a lot of time in the house with the 4-year-old and the 1-year-old, so not the best, but thankfully it could be a lot worse.
Mm-hmm. And obviously it's a hard time, as I spoke before we come on air. We're all trying to keep busy, so I really appreciate your time coming on, because I know it's a really hard time, and obviously families are at lockdown and stuff, so I really appreciate you coming on.
Well, it's good to be on. I know that it gets hard, and it's... there's a lot of depression out there and whatnot, and people, especially for Celtic fans right now, there's a lot of depression. I think the lockdown just got a lot worse. So I think we're praying that football gets stopped now. But it's good. It's good to find ways that we can keep busy and things to listen and watch to.
Definitely. Well, obviously, yourself, Joanne, early life, Bullerville, Hamilton, grew up that type of... So how was it for you growing up in that kind of area? Was it always football, out playing with the kids? How did you start getting into that? It was.
I played football every day. I mean, I grew up in Hamilton, so you know what it's like. You grow up a ball and you're playing curbing, and you're playing shooty in, and you know, World Cup, we used to play them trying to get free games. We used to play, so we grew up with football. And football, I just love football so much. Football was my life, and I remember I grew up, I played with Hamilton Colts at the time, and then I went to Motherwell, got signed with Motherwell, and I grew up in the youth of Motherwell. So, if I could have redone it all, I would probably be in football if I could. But I had an unfortunate accident. I fell through a glass roof in Spain, and then I cut my leg in half, and it was pretty horrific, and I was in a wheelchair for a while and all that, so that kind of set me back, and I would always, anytime I get kicked in my leg would just swell up. Mm-hmm. So I was with Motherwell up to about 18-19, and then, you know, it was like, I think at the time that you could have went in YTSs with different clubs and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. but I didn't take that up.
I see when you were at Motherwell, was that through, obviously back in the day, it was always like cleaning the stand and stuff. Were you doing stuff for that with the YTS?
I was on the YTS back then.
Okay.
I was up to 18-19. I had to clean the boots and things like that. Mm. So
we were talking about that to you on our previous podcast, just saying that how football players are so well now, they don't have to do that. They don't have to clean a stand. They don't have to clean boots. And I would say it's taking about a realism out of football. That's spoiled nowadays compared to the way, like, say, for instance, Chris Sutton, Henrik Larsson came through. They were very well disciplined, I reckon, back then compared to nowadays. I don't know your thoughts on that one.
Well, it'd be good to see Frimpong cleaning some boots like that. We'd get a bit of a shock if he had to. But no, I do think that was the whole thing about football coming through, and I think it humbles you kind of thing. So when they probably made it, they would have had more appreciation and, you know what other folk are going through to get to that level and that stage that they would be find themselves. But that was in complete old school. I'm trying to remember what else, obviously the balls and the nets and doing all that stuff. But I remember when the games were on at the weekend, we'd always have to turn up, you'd have to get your tie on and all that. You know, I think, you know, it's a weird thing. One of the gripes I have about Lennon, you know, lovely guy he is and all that, but one of the gripes I have about Lennon was when you're the manager of Celtic, he wouldn't turn up with a tie during a game. And all right, you can miss the odd game without a tie, but you represent the club and you're the manager of that club. You know, when you think about the Ancelottis of the world and, you know, the Mourinhos, they don't turn up looking like they're, you know, just came off the bus. And you know what I mean? Like, and I remember being a kid and turning up at Motherwell on a Saturday, you had to turn up your tie, a shirt and tie. You had to turn up with a shirt and tie. So, you know, you're supposed to be setting an example as a manager, you know, instead of sitting. I mean, no, I'm not trying to pick on him because he's getting enough gripes right now from people picking on him. So, but talking about different days, you know, and I feel that things have definitely changed in football.
It's definitely changed pretty obviously back then to now. It's just, I think, well, obviously, it's kind of players are modical now and they're not getting the jobs done. And I think, like yourself, you were maybe working through that and getting to, you wanted to get to the first team, so you worked the jobs, you knew if you got a chance, you can appreciate it a bit more. I don't think that's the same now.
No, it's totally different now. Football's, you know, it's all fancy cars and people think they can break rules and whatnot. And, you know, when you look at Ballingolly, absolute shambles. I mean, you know, the whole country's in lockdown, he jumps in a plane to go to Spain. Mm-hmm. You know, like, that's what I'm saying. It's like a lot of folk now think they're above the law. And yeah, I think that's the problem a lot of times is as well, is it's not just above the law. A lot of times they think they're better than folk. And, you know, especially Glasgow, it's a very unforgiving place. So even growing up, when there was Rangers players and Celtic players out in the town, you know, there's always potential for, you know, trouble a lot of times, you know, because, you know, people, I think West of Scotland folk, they keep it real. And I'm not saying that all Scottish folk do the same, but I think more, you don't get away with it in places, the West of Scotland, I think, as much, you know, and people would bring you back down, put you in your place. But they definitely are, they're more protected and cotton wool wrapped around them.
Yeah. See, Gianni, you're saying you played with Mirabel at a youth level and stuff like that. How did it go from football into acting? What spurred you on to go into acting after football?
Well, I think I went pretty crazy after when I left. I was 19, and in a sense, I went crazy because, you know, when you play football, you stay off the drink and you do this and you do that. So I kind of went pretty crazy for the next few years in that. And then kind of found myself a bit. And then I thought, well, what do I want to do in my life? I think I went to Caledonia University for a couple of years. And I don't know what I wanted to do in my life. And then I thought, well, I'll go to LA. So I went to LA and I went to Stella Adler drama school out there. And I was in LA for about 18 years before I moved to Vegas. So it's just takes time to figure out. And then it's a whole new adjustment, you know, because you always thought football was your world. So it kind of takes a minute just to come back down to earth and think what you want to do.
Yeah. I was going to say to Gianni, I think a lot of young football players now don't see anything else other than football. I think they maybe need educated in that way that they might not make it as a football player, that they need to look at other avenues because it's a dog-eat-dog world in football nowadays.
Aye. No, I agree. And I think that was the time my gran said to me, you know, because I think, you know, you could always join a YTS with some club somewhere, you know what I mean? There's hundreds of clubs in different leagues and whatnot, I'm sure, at the time. But it was like one of those ones that my gran's like, no, go get your degree, go get your degree, because then at least that way you can fall back in something, you know. So so that was one of the reasons where I was like, all right, so, you know, I went to Caledonian University at the time, and I think I lasted 2 years and kind of had enough after the diploma level off it. So, but I mean, it's hard as well because people always think, you know, when you try and think outside the box, people will never really, I don't know, in Hamilton anyway, it's, you know, people think you're nuts, you're crazy, you know, so you're saying, oh, well, I'm just going to go to LA and go to school there. They think you're nuts, you know. But I'll never regret it. It was a, you know, a really good experience. And I felt that you step outside your sandpit sometimes and you get to see the rest of the world. It's, you know, it's adventure, it's, you know, it's new, it's refreshing, you know. So.
And obviously, playing volleyball and stuff, but how did you get involved, obviously, with a Celtic fan? Was that through family? Was it through a young age? When did you think Celtic's a team for me?
Well, actually, when I was a kid, there's a hotel in Hamilton that my grandmother grew up with. That and my grandmother ran a hotel in Hamilton. She still does, still has it. And most of the waiters in there were all Celtic fans. So I remember I was influenced by them because I grew up in that environment. And one of them took me to a Celtic game at the time. And it was in the jungle at the time. And, you know, and we'd have the radio on a Saturday and make sure we're listening to the game at the time, you know. And that's how it all kind of started, to be honest with you. And then my first school was, you know, without sounding, you know, old school, but my first school was a Catholic school. My first primary was St. Mary's. So you know, when you grew up in Hamilton at the time, if you go to St. Mary's, you're a Celtic fan. If you go to, you know, the grammar, whatever, it's you're a Rangers fan. So it was just backwards back then, you know. It wasn't, unfortunately, things have moved on now. So but back then, it really wasn't like that.
And growing up, Gianni, who was your idol at Celtic? And player did you like growing up? Your idol and who was your
idol? I think Paul McStay was always... Paul McStay was always, like... I mean, he was just brilliant, you know, and he was a true Celtic servant and, you know, he was a maestro, as they called him. Paul McStay was probably one of my favourites growing up.
That was at the end of my era. Well, at the end of his era was the start of my era, was Paul McStay. Right. I remember being at the Coca-Cola World Cup final with my dad. I was about 12. No, no, even 12, about 8, sorry. And my dad, my first real big final, my dad's like, oh, this is it, we're going to do it. We get beaten penalties and I was crying. I was like, oh, this is terrible. That was the start of my life at Celtic. Jeez, like, man. My first real memory of it. McStay missed the penalty.
A lot of people forget, you know, I was there obviously through Rangers' 9 in a row. Yeah. And it was a nightmare. You know, being a Celtic fan was a nightmare. You know, granted we had the double in 88, but it was just that watching them do that 9 in a row was... Every year they're winning. The Terry Butchers, the Chris Woods, the Gazzas, you know, the Mark Hatleys, you know. I mean, they really did have a good team and they had a better team than they probably should have. And that's why they end up going bust, you know, because obviously we could go out and spend and then nobody would afford it. And we'd have a better team as well. But, I mean, they really pushed the boat out financially. And, you know, obviously they paid the consequences for it. But I was really hard growing up for them doing the 9, you know, and that's why I think you appreciate what Celtic just done now if you live through what they went through, you know, what we went through with them kind of thing. So, but it's not all been roses with Celtic.
Because it's like for me personally, I'm always with Sid, right? So I've kind of seen massive success through when I've been a Celtic fan. So like yourself and maybe Robert, you've lived through the 90s, you've seen the hardship side of it and I've really just seen success. So me, this season, I'm like, I don't like this. I'm used to winning. Obviously, we're going for the 10 and as it stands now, it's not working out. So I've kind of not really seen the bad sides, which we hope I don't see. So it's kind of just good contrast to go for your experiences and then to mine seeing success and then no seeing success. I think it's good to balance that out.
Aye. Well, we've definitely blown an opportunity this season. You know, I mean, I don't see us. There's no way back now. I don't even look at the league table anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm embarrassed and disgraced, to be honest with you about it. But, you know, I can understand you know, Celtic, it's Celtic, and I get it, and Celtic means everyone, but the people who run Celtic as well, people we say, oh, it's business to them, it's business to them. Well, you know, I don't understand, because when you look at Borussia Dortmund, Borussia Dortmund fell 5 points behind Bayern Munich, and they had a much better manager than we've ever had in many years. So they fired their manager with falling 5 points behind Bayern Munich because they didn't want to fall any further. Yet, you know, Lenny's still there. Mm-hmm. And we had the perfect opportunity to bring in someone in the international break, you know, months ago. And we just didn't. And that just, for me, is complete miss. It is. It's mismanagement at the time. And yeah, you know, it's not about loyalty to Lennon. Lennon's been a great servant to the club. Mm-hmm. And we really appreciate him. And we all get behind him. Mm-hmm. But sometimes, that's why, I mean, if you anybody who argues this point doesn't know what they're talking about football. Because that way, the managerial greats of the world, the Mourinhos, the Ancelottis, they would never be out of job. Mm-hmm. Because if you always stuck with them, they would never leave. But sometimes even the greats get a little bit stale, and bringing a new face in and taking away that familiarity from a player, you know, that breeds contempt, or just something fresh and new, then that's what makes teams turn it around. And I believe that if the board acted correctly, instead of this false sense of loyalty, which you're really doing the club no good, then, you know, there's always casualties in war, and Lennon would have been a casualty, a sorry casualty in war, but it was necessary for Celtic to turn it around, and it just didn't. Stuck the same regime, same things, same tactics, same ways, you know, and Lennon did everything he could. He just couldn't change it around. I mean, that Ross County game, get beat at home by 2-0 at Ross County. I mean, I just can't understand it. We must have had 10 times what their wages is, you know, maybe more, maybe 15 times. So it's an embarrassment to him. And all we're doing is, if you love somebody and they're failing miserably, you've got to take them out of that position. Mm-hmm. And, you know, unfortunately, Lenny will go down as one of the managers that lost as the 10. And I understand before it was a different scenario, but now we dwarf any other club financially. And it was mismanaged.
What would you like to see happen, Gianni, at Celtic?
I mean, I think it's too late now for the 10. I got to be honest with you, but we're still trying to flog a dead horse, and unfortunately, we can't get better until Lenny goes.
So, what would you like to see happening? Who would you like to see coming in? Would you like to see a new structure put in place at Celtic, from top to bottom?
Well, I've heard rumours that the structure above, some folk are stepping down at the end of the season. And I don't want to say.
No, I don't.
I think everybody knows who it is.
Aye, aye.
Uh-huh. So I heard, that's what I heard. Some folk are stepping down at the end of the season above management. And then, but yeah, I mean, until, you know, there's talk today about Eddie Howe possibly coming in and Dermot having a change of mind and want to bring him in early. I mean, we should bring him in early. We should bring it in early. I mean, look, the problem with Lennon right now is there's been a cloud above his head, a negative cloud above his head for months. And that's when boards are supposed to come in and change it. Now, unless you say we don't want to win anything else for the rest of the season, we don't care. Let them have another cup. Let Rangers win the double. They would have won the treble. I strongly believe if we don't do anything, they would have won the treble if it wasn't for their mishap, you know, against St Mirren. We didn't beat them. We didn't knock them out. So if you want to rely on other folk to stop Rangers winning a double, then go ahead. But that's not what Celtic's made of. And we should be the team, you know, unbelievable, we still kind of be chasing. But bring in, if it's Eddie Howe, we bring him in. You know, there's no expectations of a manager this year. So people say, why do you want to come in and manage a club that are going to lose the 10? The 10's lost. So the pressure's off them. They can actually take time and restructure new tactics. You know, I mean, I remember Milan, when Milan were the best teams in the world. They went from Gullit and Van Basten and Rijkaard and Maldini, and Ancelotti was a player with them. they had a year, maybe a 6 or 7 year. Now, that's not going to happen to us because we're so financially strong that we can overcome that and we can make the changes quick. But, you know, every club has a change. It metamorphs itself into something else. And I think that now is the time. We have a full half season where we could be doing that. Mm-hmm. So maybe we can get it finely tuned by the end of this season. So next season, we come out the traps running, you know. And I think that's what I'd like to see at Celtic. And I think continually learning. We know it's not going to last. He's not going to be there at the end of the start next season. We know that. So let's just bring someone else in. You know, let them go for the cup. Let them try and turn it around. We played Rangers off the park the first half. Yeah, we couldn't score. You know, but you know yourself, football's it's like one of those games that you just need that tiny bit of luck. And right now, we just don't have it. And even that whole Dubai debacle, I mean, let's be honest, it doesn't matter. There's nothing stopping me going to the supermarket today, but common sense has me not going to the supermarket hanging out there for 5 hours, you know, so I just wouldn't do that. So the whole thing about flying out to a pandemic and all this, and I mean, you know, and why take Julian? He doesn't need to go to Dubai. There's nothing he can get in Dubai that he can't get back at Lennox Town or Glasgow. There's nothing. It's a joke. It's an excuse, you know, and he's the one person infected as well.
I think you're kind of the same opinion as most of the fans, to be honest, Gianni. But you've kind of, you've said it in a nicer manner than maybe some of us have vet their frustrations. But we're in the same agreement as you, Robert, that it's things have got to change, because we don't like saying it, but fans are going to, they're going to think you're Lennon as a guy at lost to 10. And that's, we don't want to think about that as Lennon, but that's what some fans will have that in their mind. We should have won the 10 and we didn't, we'll not really forgive you anymore.
I mean, listen, Lenny's been a great servant. He's a great guy. He's went through so much for Celtic, and he'll always have admiration and respect from 95% of the, you know, from the fans that matter, because you're always going to get fans that don't care and they hate him or whatever. Mm-hmm. But here's a wee, somebody brought this up. When Ronnie Dalia knew he just wasn't doing it, he put his hands up and says, you know, I just don't know if this is right. And he walked. You know, he agreed to walk. Like, I mean, I just don't see why. I can't understand why Lenny couldn't see that before we lost the league. Mm-hmm. Like, when he says, I can't do this, guys. I just can't bring someone else in. I just can't, you know. Again, personally, he's a great guy and he's been through so much for Celtic. Yeah. But don't forget, this is the guy who, when he left us as a manager, says, I can't take this club forward anymore. I've done all I can do. Everyone I know, I've installed in the club. So you need somebody better to bring this forward, or more experienced to bring it forward. So when we end up taking Lenny back, you know, granted, he had to finish off. He had a cup final and he had a league to finish off. But we were ahead in the league. You know, well, we weren't ahead in the league, but we were there or thereabouts. It wasn't a big difference. And, you know, we were in a final. We already won a cup. He brought it home for us. But 8th of December 2020, I was at Hampden. And we were, you know, I want to say we're lucky. But we didn't play them off the park. And it could have went either way in that cup final against Rangers. So, you know, again, a team of Celtic, any one of the three of us should be able to financially finish second if we manage the club. I mean, that's just the way it is.
Yeah. No, I agree with you on that. I just feel the professionalism, if Brendan Rodgers left, has dropped dramatically through players, through training, through fitness. I just feel we need a guy of his stature to come in and really ignite the fans again, because other than that, I feel the season book sales will drop by the thousands, which could be worrying for Celtic financially. And if there's another pandemic, it could be really, really bad on us. And no having Champions League football, obviously having the chance to get into it, I think the Celtic board really need to step up now, because I think we could be in a real bad place if we don't.
I thoroughly agree. Everybody I speak to, I can't see them renewing their season ticket. And some folk have had it for years. But, you know, there's also a pandemic. You know, it's not just about Celtic. It's like, you know, you think about it, we've all renewed our season ticket, you know, we've all got 3 strips, we've all got training kits, we've all got this and that, like, we've given, we're support a club. People say, oh, I sell sports, we do support the club, but we unfortunately can't make the decisions, the hard decisions, and it's never easy to make the hard decision. There's so many, I mean, there's businesses out there that have to, you know, fire folk all the time just to survive because of the pandemic. You know, how hard is it to let your manager go and bring someone else in if you see the club's not doing well? It's the same as any business. You know what I mean? But, and the whole Dubai thing, I mean, I don't even know how that, it baffles me, man. It just completely baffles me. It's like an arrogance, you know?
Yeah.
And I appreciate Loyal coming out yesterday and saying it. And I think the one thing they did wrong was they probably should have done it a week ago.
Yeah.
That's when it should have happened. That, you know, maybe, don't know circumstances behind the scenes and whatnot, but that should have happened a week ago. But it was good that he did.
I definitely agree with you when it comes to, obviously, the Dubai journey. It was definitely something I think we've all agreed with, Robert, in Lowell's statement. It was not the right statement in a way, but it came out too late, shall we say. I think back here in Glasgow, Gianni, I don't know if you've been about it, Phil of Scotland's in uproar about it. It's totally, people are saying we're this, we're that, and there's no much we can really, there's nothing we can say about it, because let's be honest, as you say, we shouldn't have went. You don't want to go to the supermarket, we don't want to go and take a dog a walk, this and that, because there's a pandemic, and us as a club should have known, as the club we are, respect, humility, blah, 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 just don't go to Lennox Town, as she says, we've got a world-class facility, and just do our work there.
Well, all I know is this, is since the pandemic's been on, I've filmed 3 times at the end of the year there. Once I went to Mexico for a few days, once I was in Albuquerque for about 2.5 weeks, and then once I went to Minnesota, and the whole Minnesota production got shut down with 30 positives. So what I don't know is how did Julian get test? How did he end up positive? Because if you do go in your bubble and you do what you're told and you do the rules, then you don't get, you'll no catch it. If you don't have it, you don't have it. And the 3 of us go away and we train and we go to your rooms and we train and we go to your rooms, we won't catch it. So what happened? How did he get it? Just doesn't he wake? You don't wake up there. So, you know, I mean, it's a complete, you know, I just, listen, somebody could walk up to you and whatever, but the reality is they know there's this going on, so why would anybody be allowed to walk up to you? That's what I don't get. You know, how did he get it? Like, where's the negligence? Is it the club's fault? Was it his fault? You know, it doesn't sound like it's the club's fault, because then everybody would have it. It sounds like it was just his negligence.
So. It's hard to pinpoint, obviously, what exactly went on, because if they're only ready to train, rest, then, as you says, where does it come from? Because if they're all following protocols, they're all getting tested, they're all doing the right things, then if they're only saying bubble, then, as you says, it shouldn't really be happening. But it's happened, and it's no really a good situation, considering the form we've been in. And I think that if we were ahead in the league, maybe with 10 points, 15 points, we'd have still got a bit of backlash, but I wouldn't think it'd be as much, because we're really, I think it's been rewarding failure in a way. And obviously during a pandemic, it's totally, it's not a good situation that's happened, is it really?
Is it worth the risk? That's what you got to really count it. Like when it was internationals and we're losing Edward and whatnot, that was out of Celtic's control. You know, we can't blame Celtic for that. That was protocols that the international teams did. But this one was completely on Celtic. I mean, they should just have cancelled it. I mean, that's just, we all know that. Hindsight's a wonderful thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I can also, everybody can figure out that now is not the time to be flying about the place if you don't need to. You know?
Yeah.
So.
What doesn't sit well with me on it is, I feel like in the middle of a pandemic when people are struggling for money, to fly a squad of 30, 40 members on a private jet to Dubai for 5 stars hotel for 5 days at the cost that I would just say estimate £300,000 doesn't sit right with people. It's probably script and script to pay for season books. My family's, who's probably out of jobs now, an 80% furlough scheme, who's probably struggled to pay for their season books. And the full fact is they've then went put the under-18s on furlough now. To me, it doesn't sit right with me in that fact that it's just, again, blinkered mismanagement from Celtic Football Club, and it's just every day you're waking up and reading a paper and worried what's going to be in it.
Mate, I know, listen, I'm surprised at Celtic haven't said, hey, to all the season ticket holders, we're sending out a kit, we're sending out a Celtic top, a this and that, just to show appreciation. A Celtic top to them must cost, I don't know, £7, £8 maybe? Tops, £9, I don't know what to pay, £10? Who knows? But the fact is, the amount of money people have ploughed into the club, a bit of appreciation they could have done, and it wouldn't have cost them that much money to send every season ticket holder a tarp. Something, just to say thanks. I think that's what's missing.
Yeah, I agree. Your European trips, Gianni, tell us your best ones and your worst ones.
Robert, what will they is?
I caught the glass.
Aye, we'll get a wee break, and then we'll let Gianni go through his wee notes, and then we'll come back for part two. That's us for part one, for Gianni Capaldi. We're back for part two, and the next episode of the Celtic Now and for our podcast. Thanks, Gianni. Thanks, mate.
Yep. Hello, everybody, and welcome to part two of the Gianni Capaldi special podcast with myself and Robert. Obviously, Gianni, we're talking about, obviously, your player, who you grew up, was Paul McStay. I think Robert was why I talked to me as well about your favourite European trips. We've all followed Celtic abroad. Quite good sessions, let's be honest. Obviously, you go to watch the team play, but the atmosphere and everything else. I think Robert obviously says he met you. Obviously, I ain't drunk, I think he's seen you once. So what's your kind of standout kind of trip or any trip that you kind of want to tell people about and kind of why you enjoy going away watching Celtic?
I think one of the trips of my life was the Rome trip when we played Lazio. I think that was it was just historical. You know, the fact that we go away and we beat a Serie A team in Italy is just amazing for Celtic and Scotland. And just the atmosphere was, we're getting there as underdogs and we came out there triumphant. And it was always a belief. There's always a belief when you're a Celtic fan, you can, we'll beat them and we'll do this and we'll do that. We come back with our tails between our legs and beat 5-0 or 6-0 or whatever it is. But, we beat Barcelona at home and whatnot, but being away and doing it was just top class. And Rome was such a great place to do it. You know, the Eternal City and the atmosphere there was just fantastic. You know, and we were treated well. I've been to Amsterdam a few times and I remember, I think we won in Amsterdam, and I remember when you're walking across the tunnel, I mean, you're back years now, you played Ajax and the coins were getting flung at you, and I remember there was a tunnel just getting in, and it was, you knew you had to get from here to there, and you knew you were going to get hit by a coin at some point. And then I remember Amsterdam the second time I was there, when it was like riots in the square and whatnot. But I think that Rome was just, it was just like a holiday. It was brilliant. So it was a really good atmosphere. It was brilliant. And the fans were just top class. You know what I mean? Everybody was in a top mood. It was brilliant. Great times. So that's probably my favourite old trip.
I think following Celtic in Europe, it's obviously you go and watch the games, but as you said, it is like a wee holiday, and you always meet people. Like, people meet you and go, oh, there's Gianni, I've met him, and stuff like that. It's, you see people you don't really see back home, and I think that's why yourself, Robert. It's just good to go and experience a different type of atmosphere, because obviously back here, you're going to the game, you're getting your pie, your Bovro. It's different. When you go abroad, it's Celtic abroad, and you kind of get hooked on it, don't you? When you go here, I want to go back. And I think it's something that I think once you, I've only been to a few, right? So I'm hooked on it now. I'm like, I want to go every game. If I can afford it, I'll go to one, I'll go to two. And I think it's brilliant just to experience
that atmosphere. I remember we were drinking on the bus to the stadium. We're drinking before the bus, the stadium. They're serving you drinks outside the stadium, walking to the bus. They're serving you drinks inside the stadium. It was just, it was more of a party atmosphere. So it was just really good. It's good. That's my 4-year-old.
That's all right.
Hi, Rome. I met you, Gianni, in Rome, in the Irish bar after the game. I was talking away to you and that, but you were, let's say, had a few share bits in you. great atmosphere. We had a brilliant time and stuff. I want to say hi to you. And then I come up and spoke to you in Copenhagen.
All right.
In an Irish bar again. I was with women that goes to away tips with Carol and that. We're just talking to you for a couple of minutes again.
Copenhagen was
good. It was cold, but I think it was a really good trip. Yep. Really enjoyed it. I just love going away to see Celtic Europe. It's like a good way to get out with your mates and have a couple of beers and just, as you say, in Rome, it was a lovely weather and stuff like that. And just to socialise with mates, what you don't get to do. You go to a game with your mates back here, but it's like 2 or 3 days, these trips. So you get to spend more times with your mates and just away from family. It's like a wee mini break, and following Celtic and singing and enjoying yourself.
If you're up for it, it's brilliant. It's the best. I mean, if you're kind of sort of, I guess if you're a bit stuck up and you don't want to be mixing or whatever, then it's not the place to be. But like, if you're really into, you know, if you're down to earth and all that, you just love the atmosphere and Celtic, and it's the best place to be is on an away trip. So no, I'm with you on that, man. I can't even, that's the one thing that is, you know, the fear about the COVID, and I think that probably won't go on another till there's a, I remember my mate called me and says, listen, do you want to go at the Milan game in December? And I'm thinking, well, I was over here anyway, so I couldn't even, I think, man, that's a bit dangerous as well, and, you know, COVID and that. So I think until I probably get vaccinated and all that, I'll probably be staying away from him, to be honest with you. Because I wouldn't want to go if you couldn't do what you did. Yeah. You know yourself, you end up in the bars and it's like, you know, 100 folk deep. You know what I mean? You wouldn't want to say, well, I can't get in there just in case. You'd want to be part of it, so it's probably best I don't go unless I'm vaccinated.
You couldn't imagine scoring and going, ah, well, go. It's hard to imagine, no pints up there, and it's just, it's, I as you say, I think until we're all vaccinated and we're all, everything's kind of settled in a bit until we go away again, it's hard to kind of visualise going there and no having a party in a way, because that's what you go for in a way.
It'd be more torture for you not to be there. Mm-hmm. To be there, not being part of it, than to be somewhere else and say, oh, didn't go. So I definitely. So I can't wait for this vaccine to come out so we can all get back again.
I think it's definitely one of the big things as well, because obviously we all love going to watch Celtic, we all love our holidays in general, and then I think that's one of the biggest things we're all missing, is a wee sun break to Tenerife, a wee sun break here, and you can't do it. But I think as Celtic fans, when I've seen the draw for Europa League, I've looked brilliant, Prague, Milan, can I go? I'm like, it's...
I know.
In your heart, you're like, I might still go. Realistically, there's no chance we're going anywhere, but it's a hope it kills, isn't it?
Right, unless I go for a job, I'm not allowed to go anywhere. That's what the wife says. So, I think when you've got kids, it's different, because you don't want to bring anything back to them. You've got to be, you try to be responsible as possible, and you say no, and like, you know. So if it's a job, then fair enough. But if it's just for fun, then, you know, you can't take the risk, because then you just, you'd feel guilty for the rest of your life if it never happens. So worth it.
Hi, Gianni, how getting to play in the charity games at Celtic Park? Just a wee insight on that. How did that come about, and what sort of feeling was it to step out in Celtic Park with a Celtic shirt on playing inside Celtic Park?
Well, I got asked to play. The foundation asked me to play the one at Dunfermline, and you know, you put the hoops on and it felt brilliant and it was great, and you know, I mean, it's an experience coming on for Petrov or Petrov coming on for you or whatever, you know. And I remember a funny story. So Martin and I, when we were walking out in Dunfermline and that, we were trying to find the missus in the stand. And so we're trying to look up and that, we're waving and that, we found him waving. And Murdo was like, oh, you two, like a couple of tourists, get up here. So we get up and then, you know, we're sitting and, you know, it's like, Murdo's so competitive, he didn't want any of us on. So he's like, you know, and I think, I don't know, like, McAvoy was there as well. And just sitting there, like, you know, keep looking at Murdo, getting a wee look every time, like that. So anyway, I think it was 0-0 at half time, and so he brought us on at half time. Just start the second half, so we're playing away, and we started losing 2-0. So Murdo gets all competitive again. They're right, Gianni, off, Petro, right, McAvoy, off, right, put, you know, and he's trying to get competitive again, and it's just a charity game. And I was like, Murdo, I can't believe you pulled me out. Like, after it, I'm like, I can't believe you pulled me out. That's ridiculous. And he's like, Gianni, folk behind me are shouting, I can't believe I put you on. So he's always joking about that. But so that was brilliant. And then, but, you know, it wasn't at the hallowed ground, you know what I mean? It wasn't at paradise. So you're thinking, so the next one comes up and, you know, you get the nod. And I'm like, I was so excited. You know what I mean? I was like a wee kid again. And, you know, you're playing with Larson and Miravchik and everybody's there, you know. It was just an atmosphere like you can never imagine. You know, they said, do you want to go stay at the hotel the night before? And I'm like, no, it's all right, I'll just stay home and then I'll come up in the morning. So, but a long story short, it was fantastic. And, you know, you get in early, you have your breakfast there, you know, and you just get through the whole rigmarole, and, you know, you're playing with Scott Brown and, you know, Chris was playing at the time as well. So it was just everybody you grew up with, you know, you was there, and you kind of, you know, you formed friendships and whatnot. It was amazing. And then, you know, walking down and coming out, and I took my phone with me, and when you come out, you look around you, and it was, honestly, there's so many folk, and even if you know that someone you know is sitting over there,
You've never seen them.
Yeah, so I'll be in here.
That's all right.
And I remember I took a wee video, and I've got a wee video when the game was just kicking off, and I just did something around, you know, the stadium. And it's so frightening. Like, there's, you know, it was totally unfit for that game, completely unfit for that game. But it was just amazing, like coming down that tunnel, and you know, it was one of the best days ever. You know, like honestly, top five days ever, I think.
I think it's the fact that, as you say, it's the guys you've grew up watching, cheering, paying money for, and you're like, I'm actually standing next to the tunnel. I'm sharing. It's what dreams are made of, in a way, isn't it? You know, actually. It's no professional Celtic, but you're playing with the guys who you've grew up supporting, watching, and then you're kind of moving the warm-up. It's Larson. For me, I'd be starstruck, but wow, that's brilliant. Just to have that experience is, let's be honest, it's very, very lucky, because guys like us, that's something we dream of. So for that to happen, that's amazing. Just to live the tale, it's fantastic for me to kind of hear that, because it's stuff you want to be a part of.
Mate, I'll be honest with you, like, I just, you know, you have the birth of your kids and your marriage days and all this stuff, and, like, but it, you know, it's right up there, you know, you can't say it's better than having your kid or anything like that, you know, so, but believe me, like, when you're in it, it's just, it's phenomenal, and it's quite intimidating, like, when there's so many folk around you, like, it's intimidating, you know, it's, you're always scared in case you mess something up or something. Then you know it's all for fun, and it's just one big Celtic family anyway. You know what I mean? So, and I think that's what the Celtic family is all about. It's, we're all in this together, kind of thing. You know, and I think that's what the message with the foundation anyway, which is really important. You know, if people need help, and they're part of the Celtic family or not part of the Celtic family, the foundation is always there to help. You know, there's been a couple of instances where folk have reached out to me and I put them in touch with the foundation, and the foundation have, you know, done wonders for them, and they're always ready to help. And there's so many folk I know that support the foundation because they know the great charity work it does.
Yeah,
you know, that's what it's all about. You know, people forget that. Yeah, it's easy to give up your day or time, but it's the fans that are putting the money in to buy the tickets to raise the money for the charity. You know, so it's a great team effort, absolutely great team effort.
That's what Celtic was founded on, Gianni.
That's right. That's right.
Wilfred. What did you, when you were playing with Larson and that, now we all go, phenomenal football player, Chris, something phenomenal. How good was their touches and movement when you were playing, just even in a charity game? Was it like on a whole new level?
Their touches, and it's, you know, I remember Baldy went in for a tackle on Commons and Chris just stepped to the side. You know, he's like, I'm not going to get involved. You know? But their touches are just phenomenal. I remember there was a bit when I was chasing a ball down with Lenny, and I can't remember who got it first, but we ran a lot to get to it, and we got to it and turned round, ball got played away, and then so we're walking back up and Lenny just stops and he's right next to me and he throws up. I don't know if you remember, there's a picture of him throwing up, like my hand in his back going, "Are you all right?" And I said to him, I says, thank fuck, it was you.
I know me.
So I just, at least you broke the ice, so I won't feel as bad if I have to. But it's really brilliant atmosphere, and it's really good to be involved with the foundation. The foundation's honestly does really good things. I know there's Kano Foundations there too, and they do amazing things too. But it's great that Celtic family actually care about each other, and you know, they're there to help. Especially in these times of depression. People think that money wise, COVID, I mean, you know, if you've got a family and you got money, you know, the one thing I always worry about is support my family, so sure it gets amplified. And you know, I speak to a lot of folk, and they're always, you know, I'm going through depression and this and that, and you know, I've lost my job and that. But there isn't any one person that's really over the moon now, unless you're just solely focused on Rangers. So everybody's in the same boat, you know, and we're all dealing with the same issues. So it, you know, having the foundation and is good because, you know, a lot of people just need to talk to someone, or and they can guide you who to talk to. And you know, depression right now is a nightmare amongst everyone.
I think that's how we're really happy that football still playing during this time, because a lot is football's one of our kind of pinnacle things in our life. Celtics, like us three Celtics, are a massive part of our lives, and for us to just have the football. We're going to work and maybe you can't even do a lot of stuff, but knowing that the game's coming Saturday, the games are Tuesday, Wednesday, you're thinking, right, I've got a game coming up to watch, and it keeps you, it's all, I think football's a massive thing, and I think what Celtic do when it comes to charity work, the trust and stuff, it's brilliant. It's, I don't think it gets, sometimes it doesn't really get enough credit, I think, than it maybe should.
Yeah, I mean, listen, everybody wanted football because they thought the UK would keep them sane, and, you know, that's been the biggest argument. I wonder if it was the right thing to do, to be honest with you. But you know, obviously mental health is important to everybody, and it gives somebody to watch, so something to look forward to, something to talk about. You know, what would we talk about, even if we're moaning, if we didn't have the football to talk about?
I know.
So definitely gives us emotions.
Obviously you did the charity games, you're now in America, as you've said. Is it hard to kind of stay up to watch the games? Do you need to always go to your bed a bit earlier and kind of the time wise?
I can't get to my bed earlier. I always never really fall asleep before a certain time. But I do get up for them. Honestly, I don't think I've missed one. But I definitely get up for them. You know, I prefer if they're later. Like, I prefer the nighttime games because then I can get up in the morning. But time's over. I'm used to it. Just used to it. You know, all fun games are always 4 a.m. So the worst is getting up at 4 a.m. and no getting the result. But
definitely, that's a long. again, that shows you maybe how good a fan you really are, mate, because you're over there, time difference, and you're still got to your bed, you're getting up to watch it, and you make sure you're up. That's just, that just shows you as well how much football means to yourself, and the rest is that that's what we look forward to. Celtic, Celtic's a big part of your lives, and it's just as well as you're talking about it, so just us that think the same thing.
I've got a couple of mates out here that are Celtic fans. A guy called Thomas Strain, who used to run this, the Vegas found Celtic Sports Club, and then obviously Martin Compson. And so, you know, usually I'll be one of them watching the game at some point. You know, Martin's just came back, so I don't know if we'll make the efforts now, though, for 4 a.m. I'm sure we'll watch the fun games, but if it's that time, but I would, you know, Tom or him will come over and we'll just watch the game together. So at least you're, you know, getting up yourself and sitting yourself at 4 a.m. So.
You've done some amazing stuff in acting, Gianni. You've done over 40 films and TV shows and stuff.
Nice.
You're now into producing as well. Is that correct?
A little bit. I used to be a bit more in the producing, but how can I say it? I get pretty busy, so kind of laid off it a bit. But luckily, you know, I keep working, so it's good. I can't complain. You know, as I said.
And you got a Scottish BAFTA as well.
Well, I was part of something that won the BAFTA at the time. Yeah. I was nominated for the BAFTA, to be honest with you. So,
what's your best acting role? What do you feel your best acting role has been?
I really enjoyed a movie called River Runs Red. It's a movie I did with John Cusack and Hemsworth and whatnot, a few others, where I played this Southern American, well, from the South, like, I played a racist cop. So I played like the bad guy kind of thing, and dealing with a shot of a black kid, which was really relevant for Black Lives Matter kind of thing when it came up. But that was interesting. It was a really good, I really enjoyed it. I felt that was a good bit of work, because the director turned out, I've worked with the director twice now, and we're actually about to start again in April, March, April. I ended up doing a movie. So his name is Wes Miller, and he's a black American, and he's became good pals now. We've worked twice and about to work again. And you know, he would have to educate me, like, you know, I'd be like, no, surely not. And like, no, I definitely, and you know, like, this is how, because we think racists are, you know, they don't wear shirts that say, you know, I'm racist, and, or I hate black people, or whatever it is. They're more subtle, and it's more undertoned, especially if you're a cop. You can't just come out with it. So it was very, you know, he would tell me his experiences, and or people that he knows, their experiences, and I had to talk to a couple of folk as well, just to see, you know, how they experience that they've dealt with. So it's a kind of thing that you could really delve into. And it was a really good shoot. Enjoyed it. Shot it in Kentucky. But River Runs Red was a good movie. Really enjoyed it.
Because obviously as well, you've done, people moving away in Scotland for the film Robert the Bruce, The Blood of Redemption, and obviously you were in a Santa movie. After I looked at Adventures of Santa. How is that working a Christmas movie? Because it's something a bit different than a Christmas movie.
I get asked to do it, and the reason I did it, a couple of things. One was because it was through Universal, and secondly because it was something that I felt my kids could watch, because, you know, most movies I'm killing folk in them, so I didn't, you know, it's more action stuff, and, you know, and I just, you know, it's funny because my wee one, well, Trinity now, the big one, she's even, she's just four, she would always, when she gets something on her mind, she watches it like 10, 20 times, so it got to a point where we're like, oh, we've just seen that, Trinity, let's put something else on. Oh, no, I want to watch it. So you're stuck with it. And she'd say things like, where's mummy? You know, like, who's that woman? You know, like, things like that. Oh, that's Denise Richards. That's no, your mum. You know? it was good. And then I just did a movie called The Commando. That was the one shot in Albuquerque. It just shot in October or November. And, I mean, I think for me, I get told that's one of my best performances by the director. First time I worked with that director. But that was with Mickey Rourke. And I got to play Scottish in that. I just got to play an absolute psychopath, which was fantastic. But I'm looking forward to that coming out next year. But everything's different, you know. You go from some comedy to an action to a thriller to, you know, a horror movie, whatever. You just got to kind of, go with the flow.
You've worked with some really big actors and stuff, like Morgan Freeman and that. Who were you starstruck working alongside, and if you became good pals with any and turned them into any Celtic supporters?
I gave John Cusack a Celtic scarf as well, but he was a bit of a dick, got to be honest with you. not to me, but he was a bit of a dick to some other folk. And I didn't even ask him for a picture, because sometimes it feels a bit awkward sometimes, you know what I mean? Whereas other folk that, like, they get the history and they're appreciative of the history, and I'm always trying to plug the foundation when I can. Ron Perlman, we just did a Western a wee while ago called Hell on the Border, with Frank Grillo. I gave him a Celtic, scarf. He was happy with it. You know, Danny Glover was happy with his, and, you know, a lot of them actually really appreciate. Even the UFC guy who was in, Donald Cerrone, cowboy, who was in the Mickey Rourke movie, they appreciate kind of thing, the whole Scottish connection thing. So, you know, they like it. And cowboy hung up in his bar, so in his house, so, you know. Yeah, somebody's let the cat in.
The door, sorry.
You let the missus in.
It's obviously as well, you've Robert the Bruce, worked with Angus McFadden as well, guys like that. That's just Robert England, they're guys, it's obviously big actors as well. So that just kind of shows you kind of company that you've been, or your talents go to you to get into. What were they guys?
Well, it's funny, Robert the Bruce, I've got a really small part, and I only come in at the end. And I come in with Daniel Portman at the end, but I'll tell you, I was supposed to do something else in Robert the Bruce. And we ended up, dates get pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed, and then there was a conflict and I couldn't do it anymore. And they shot somewhere in like Montana. And then they had to go to Scotland for like 4 days of filming or something, 5 days of filming. So I was flying over, and the director said, listen, we're shooting in Scotland. I know it's not what you're supposed to have done, but would you just come and do a couple of days on the film? I says, no worries. You know, so, and I'm good. I've known Angus for quite some while, so we just never worked together. So, it was good to work with Angus for a couple of days, and, you know, it was home and it's fine, you know. So it was all right. But Robert England was all right. It's a funny story about Robert England. So he obviously played Freddy Krueger. So I'm out in Bulgaria, and there's a movie called Night World, and I think it's always on that horror channel in the UK.
Aye.
So, you know, so I'm out there, and so the only three actors that were brought in from America was Robert England, myself, and a guy called Jason Linden. So we get in the hotel, the first night you're at the bar, and you're thinking, you know, and Robert England's like, so did I tell you the story about when I was in my house at a party? And I'm like, no, that's interesting. So I thought, well, I'm you're standing at a bar somewhere in Bulgaria having a drink with Freddy Krueger, he's telling this great story. So that's brilliant. So, haha, very funny, great. Next day, go to work. Back at the hotel, next evening, and we're there, and he goes, Gianni, did I tell you the time about the story? And you're not being, you want to be polite, but you don't want to be rude. Is that? Oh, right.
Same story.
Same story, mate. Night three, you're like, same, I've heard it, yep, that's when this happened, yep. By night four and night five, you're coming in the front door of the hotel, you're doing a Mission Impossible thing, so if he's standing at the bar at the lobby, he doesn't see you, so he doesn't wave you over, and you're just kind of sneaking off your room, or you're coming down to your room and you're trying to run out the front door without him waving you back over, so you just repeat the same stories over and over again.
You done Still Game, Gianni? How was that?
It was good. It was a laugh. It was, you know, I knew Greg Hemphill, and obviously it was the last season, and Greg's like, if you want to come and do something, we've got this day, you know, we're writing this scene, Martin's going to do it as well, you know, it's a selling telephones. If you can make that, it'd be brilliant, you know. So, you know, it's a not for. It's weird because for growing up, it's still game chewing the fat. It was like an honour to, I was forever grateful. It's one of those ones where you're forever. It's difficult to explain because somebody in America will be like, oh, "What? Okay, you know," but you're like, "No, still game's a huge thing back home for us." So it was great to, you know, to have a to work with those two, you know, Ford and Greg, and they're so funny, man. They're basically right in the scene when you're outside and you're in the wee van. So it's Martin, myself, and Greg and Ford, and they're writing for the director, going, right, what was if he say this, and what was if that, and that's kind of funny, you know, and that's all their game, their humour, their comedy is just, like, you know, exceptional. Aaron Greg touches just tons to go, man, he's just so funny, so it was a good experience to have.
You know, obviously as well, Gianni, obviously the pandemic and stuff, what's our plans for the future? Is it can I put in hold anything that was maybe going to happen? Just is it any more films in the making, any producing maybe lined up again? What's your kind of plans for the future?
I just got so as I said, I did a movie with Michael Madsen in at the end of the year there, I think in October, September. We flew down to Mexico, and then I did the movie called The Commando with Mickey Rourke in Albuquerque. And then I got flown out to do a movie with Cuba Gooding Jr. in Minnesota called Way of the Warrior. I was there for 2 days, and Minnesota shut the state down. So they asked if I wanted to stay there, but it was Thanksgiving on the Thursday. And so I came back and then to pick back up after, but they ended up with 30 positives when I was there. So that was quite a scare because I was there, and if I stayed and didn't go for Thanksgiving, I would have caught it. But I know I'm actually doing a movie with Bruce Willis, and it was supposed to shoot in January, and then it got moved to February, all because of COVID, you know, because there's real scares. Actually, I got word today that it has to happen by the end of March to the end of April. So I'll probably come home. I'm trying to come home prior, but I do start a job. It's funny. I don't think to say too much, but I had two Zoom meetings with John Gotti Jr. this week.
Oh wow!
It's crazy because he's talking about, you know, when he ran the Gambino family in the 90s. You know, and it's like, I'm sitting there going, yes, Mr. Gambino, yes, Mr. you know, yes, Mr. But I miss Mr. Gotti. I'm like, you know, and he's like, yes, what do you think of this, Jimmy? What do you think of this, Jimmy? And I'm like, oh, this is, you know, I brilliant, fantastic. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, I'll see if I end up doing that, it's this month, it's at the end of January, and it's short in Florida, but there's a couple other things that I'm on a TV show out here called Paper Empire, and I'm still trying to finish the first season, but because of COVID last year, it shut down. So I know they're just, everybody's waiting here. It's just, you keep setting a date, because it doesn't get better, they push it another month, and then they push it
back.
So, I was supposed to come home for Christmas. You know, I had a ticket booked on the 1st of December, and I was asked, no, please don't leave, because we're going to shoot in December. Please don't leave. 8th of December, 20th of December. Boom, and it's just non-stop. They keep pushing all the time. So that's why we're still here.
Do you ever get starstruck with any like actors and stuff you see?
No, really. It's a weird thing now. I think at first I did, but I think I did a movie called The Cross like in 2011 or 2010, and I was working with Michael Clarke Duncan and Vinnie Jones and Danny Trejo at the time, and that. And I remember Vinny walked in and he's like, him and I were only Brits on it. And he's like, I don't want to talk to anybody here. You know, he was playing the bad guy. And he's like, because he's like, he didn't want to be familiar. And then, you know, some folks stay in character. And then him and I just started talking about football. And then that was it. And then we became pals after that. You know, and I think we ended up working like, you know, 6-7 times together. You know, although, you know, from Italy to wherever we worked together. But I remember I met Megan Fox on that film set because Brian Austin Green was leading that movie, mm-hmm. and she came to set one day, and he's like, "Hey, Gianni, this is you know, Megan." I think that time I did, you know, that was like one of my first movies out here, and I did. But it's crazy, man. You end up kind of like you lose that thing, you know. And I think it affects you if you're working with someone and you have that, you've just got to kind of see past it and just think of them as whatever character they are, you know what I mean? So, because you don't want to go in with that perception and, you know, if I don't give you respect in real life, then I don't want to, like if the character doesn't give the other character respect, you don't want to just do it just because they're somebody you recognise, if you know what I mean? So,
I say, Gianni, it's been brilliant to hear your story, mate. There's some stuff I didn't even know about you, mate, which is brilliant to hear about. Obviously, speaking about Celtic, I think the views, I mean, Robert's kind of the views of yourself and the fans, and we hope in the next few weeks it does get better, i.e. the new manager and whatever else, and obviously for yourself, Gianni, I hope obviously the next film you do with Bruce Willis, that'll be brilliant. Hopefully, after it comes out, we'll get a wee watch. I really appreciate your time, Gianni, because obviously it's a pandemic. I know how tight it is for time with the family and stuff, and I mean, you really appreciate you coming on the podcast, and obviously for the viewers, it'll be a good wee listen, taking a know your story and how big you are at Celtic. So I really appreciate it, Gianni, and I really appreciate you coming on, mate. Thank you.
Well, thanks for having us, and everybody stay safe out there, and you know, keep the chin up. It's been a bad season, and you know, but I genuinely believe, and here's the thing, this is my fallback, the automatic Champions League place doesn't happen next season, it's the season after. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I know if we can get someone in quickly, get things turned around, then I'm sure by next season we're off to the races. We'll secure it next year.
Gianni, thanks very much for coming on.
Thanks a lot, Gianni. That's us this week on the Celtic Now and for our podcast for the special guest Gianni Capaldi. Robert, thanks for your time, mate. Thanks for joining in. And Gianni, cheers. I'll see you again, mate. Take care, keep safe, and hail hail.
See you around.
Cheers, mate. Bye bye. Bye bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered. To fly.